Okay, we have been studying the book of Luke, so you can turn to Luke chapter 4. The first verse I'm going to read is verse 42. Our subject today is on prayer. And we see here in Luke 4, 42, it says, "At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place." And then in the chapter we've been studying, Luke chapter 5, in verse 15 and 16, says the news about Jesus spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So I would like us to focus this morning on the idea of getting alone with God and praying the way Jesus did. Does that sound good? Okay, let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would help me preach your word in such a way that we're inspired to look to you, to get alone with you, to be honest and real with you, so that you can strengthen us, empower us, speak to us the way you did to your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. There's another example of this in Matthew's gospel that I want to look at to help you see how neat and amazing our Lord is. In Matthew 14, the setting here is this is where Jesus feeds the 5,000. But just prior to that, John the Baptist has been beheaded. And the news of his death was brought to Jesus. And in verse 13, it says, "When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place." Let's just pause there. Why do you think that news made Jesus want to go somewhere alone? He's sad. You know, John was his cousin. John ushered in his ministry. I'm convinced Jesus had to be thinking, well, I'm next. Right? Jesus knew he was going to die in Jerusalem. So there's just this, okay, I need to get alone with my father. But look what happens. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So if that were me, or think about yourself, you're trying to get alone with God. You're sad right now. You're thinking about the future. And you get in a boat, and people are so wanting your attention, wanting your help, that they run ahead so that when you actually, your boat lands, they're there too. Now, my response would be like, Lord, can you please get rid of all these people just for like one day? But that's not what Jesus did. That Jesus felt compassion for them. Isn't that great? So he prays for them, he heals them. They don't have any food. So he says to the disciples, hey, you feed them. And it's the whole miracle of, you know, 5,000 men. That was just men. It doesn't count women and children. We're fed. So then in verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. He got alone to pray. Why did Jesus do this? Because Jesus, even though he's the Son of God, as a man, he got tired just like you and I do. He got weary. Jesus needed a break from people constantly coming to him with their needs and taking from him. All right, how many moms ever get tired of all the demands of the kids? Right? You know, especially, you know, some of our moms have like one or two or three like really little ones, and they like just need a lot of constant attention. Well, let's multiply that by hundreds of people who wanted healing that day from Jesus. He's exhausted. But praise God, he's compassionate and he helps them, but he needed to get alone. So on your outline, the first point is Jesus had a habit of getting alone with his Father to pray. I want you to develop that kind of habit. The next point, as a man, Jesus got tired, just like all of us. I want you to be able to pray like your Lord. I want you to be able to be real with God, to be strengthened by your Heavenly Father. When you're worn out, I want you to be able to get alone with your Father and be refreshed. When you're stressed and overwhelmed, I want you to be able to go to a solitary place, decompress, be filled with His peace. When you're angry, you're frustrated with someone, I want you to be able to get alone with God, process it, and release the person and not count their sins against them. Just like God's not counting your sins against you because you have faith in Jesus. I want you to experience the rest that Jesus promised to those who are weary and heavy laden by getting alone with Him, unloading your burdens onto Him, and learning from Him so you find rest for your souls and a burden that is light and easy to bear. Don't we all want that? Does that sound good? All right. So you're with me. So number three, we need to experience the rest and easy load Jesus promised. Now, how did Jesus pray? We don't really have a lot of examples of Jesus praying, but one example we do have is in the Garden of Gethsemane. So I want to look at this. This is Mark 14. It's the third scripture on your sheet. They're in the garden. Jesus is speaking. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to his disciples. Stay here. Keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? What do you get from this? What stands out to me is that Jesus is very real. He says exactly what he's feeling. He's that way with his Father. You know, I was reading this one time. Jesus, more than anybody else, knew that anything's possible with God. Look at all the miracles he did. Look at all the healings. And so here he is in his hour of agony, knowing the cross is before him. He's going to be tortured. He's going to be killed. He's going to be separated from his Heavenly Father for the first time in all of eternity, and he's dreading it. And he's there, Abba, Father, all things are possible. Do you know there's that struggle, like, is there some way, can't you deliver me from what I'm about to endure? Remove this cup from me. Jesus lays it right out there. Yet not what I will, but what thou will. It's lovely, it's powerful. Are you this real when you pray? Maybe you are. Maybe you're not. But I want to encourage you to be this real when you pray. So number four was Jesus was real and said exactly what he was feeling. And then the next point is you won't get the help you need until you get what? Real or honest. You have to be honest. So when you're honest, then God can minister to you. Sometimes we come to pray, and I think as Christians, we sort of pray things we think God wants us to pray, and we say the things we kind of feel he wants us to say, or we quote the scriptures that seem appropriate, but we're not being real. And that kind of prayer doesn't accomplish much. So we have to be honest. And the Bible is just full of encouragements for us to be honest. David in the Psalms. Here's just some of the things I thought of how David prayed in the Psalms. He said things like, Lord, where are you? Why have you left me and forsaken me? Lord, my enemies are trying to kill me, and I'm going to die if you don't show up and do something. Is that being honest? Psalm 6, I love this. He goes, I'm weary of my sighing and groaning, and I'm swimming in my tears on my bed. That's honest. Be real with the Lord. Don't tell him how you think you should feel. Tell him how you feel. Number six, God is the best listener in town. Do you believe that? You know, I was laughing a few weeks ago about how Ingrid gets frustrated with my inability to listen sometimes. God never gets tired of hearing from you. Do you believe that? Like, we get tired of listening to each other sometimes, don't we? But God never gets tired. It's wonderful. He's way better than your husband. He's a better listener than your good friend. Jesus directed people to himself, right? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. He could have said, go to the other disciples when you're weary and heavy laden. He could have said that. And certainly, we encourage one another. We bear one another's burdens. But if you really want to find rest, you can only find it in Jesus. If you really need peace, you can only find it in the Lord. David said, I cried to the Lord. He answered me, delivered me from all my fears. I can't deliver Ingrid from all her fears. Only Jesus can do that. Only when Ingrid is looking to Jesus will she really be radiant. Although, when I was in Nigeria at this 50th birthday party, Cheebs, it's his adopted daughter, his oldest brother died when he was like in his early 20s. And so it fell to him to raise like five kids. Can you imagine like getting out of college and the first job you have is raising five kids? So four of the kids mostly stayed with their mom, but the youngest, her name is Eva, as a baby, got really attached to Cheeb. So he told me that when he went teaching, he was assigned a post in northern Nigeria. She was 1 year old. He took her with him, if you can believe that. He goes, yeah, I dressed her. I put her on a table, you know, next to me when I was teaching my class, and I taught my class. I said, Cheeb, that's crazy. I said, was she quiet? He goes, Dave, it was amazing. She was quiet, you know? I mean, he has all these cool stories. So she's very attached to him. So talking about being radiant, she was testifying in church. They kind of had a celebration for her at her church. She goes, you think I'm beautiful now? It's because of my husband. I'm like, ooh, that's really good. Now, I don't know if Ingrid or Evan or Becky or other people are going to say that or not. But she was attributing it to her husband. But beyond that, seriously, to be radiant, you have to look to the Lord. David said, I cried out to the Lord. He set my feet on a rock. He put a new song in my mouth. Now, I can talk to Ingrid, and she can encourage me and pray for me, but only God can set my feet on a rock. So sometimes we're looking to get from people what we can really only get from the Lord. And we have to be aware of that. So, of course, we want to listen and encourage each other, but if someone's like pouring their heart out to you, at some point you have to say, can we pray? Right? Shouldn't we do that? Can we pray? Can we give what you're worried about to the Lord together? That's the best thing we can do for each other. Because it's the Lord who gives us rest. My yoke isn't easy, but Jesus' yoke is easy. His burden is light. And we want that. I want you to experience that in your lives. So in order to do that, you have to get alone with your Heavenly Father. So on your outline, the next point is only God can deliver you from all your fears. And then number eight, we can learn this by practicing praying the Psalms. How many of you read the Psalms, sometimes actually pray like what's written there? Some of you do that? That's great. I want to encourage us all to do that because in the Psalms, David and the writers of the Psalms are very honest. And so you learn to be honest by reading out loud and like praying with what's happening there. That's powerful. You learn to end up putting your faith in God. At the end of the psalm, it's always like, but I will trust in the Lord and I'm going to have faith in him. And that's how we want to end our prayers. But we first have to learn to be what? Real, honest, pouring our hearts out to him. This happened to me in Nigeria just this past week. There were a couple nights I like slept for like 4 or 5 hours, and I was wide awake at like 3 in the morning. Cheeb, again, this is another story. He shared with me how he owned a piece of property in the town next to his village, and this wicked man in the town just started building, because Cheeb didn't have money to like build anything on that property, to start building a big structure on the property. This guy is wealthy. He owns the police. He owns the local judge. There's absolutely nothing Chibuzo can do. And at the prayer meeting, at one point, the pastor's like calling down fire, you know, from heaven on like the evil. And I'm like, after, like, Cheeb, that's kind of unbiblical. You know, you're supposed to pray for your enemies. And he goes, yeah. He goes, but he was telling me the story of what's happening. And it's like, there's nothing they can do. I said, okay, I get that. But it still seems a little severe. So it's 3-4 in the morning. I can't sleep. So I get up, and the electricity in Cheeb's village goes out at night, like most nights. So they have a generator, a gasoline generator, but they, you know, they turn it off at 10 o'clock or 11. So it's the middle of the night, but we have this little electric lantern, and I'm reading, and I found Isaiah 1 and 2. In Isaiah 1, it talks about these people in Israel who they become wicked, they're rebels, they're chasing after bribes. I'm like, wow, that's like what's happening here. And it goes into chapter 2, God has appointed a day where he will humble the proud, he will bring low the arrogant, and like he'll exalt the humble. So I just started praying these scriptures for Cheeb and praying against this man. I said, Lord, your word says that you have a day, you will humble the arrogant. This man is totally arrogant. When they told him like, oh, you know, this is the property of a man of God, he's a bishop, he's like, huh, what do I care about God? And this is the way he talks. And so I was praying. Then I found a proverb that said the evil will bow before the righteous. The evil will bow down at the gates of the good. I'm like, Lord, do this for Chibuzo. Cause this man to humble himself. Bow down before him. Return that land. Do you get what I'm saying? You can read scriptures and you pray what you see there. It's powerful. It was really encouraging to me. And I shared the scriptures with Cheeb the next morning. I said, this is... I goes, I know you saw, I was up in the middle of the night. I said, this is what I was praying. So we want to pray the Psalms. So for this next month, in order to put this into practice, I encourage everybody to pray at least one psalm a day. Or if that psalm doesn't speak to you, read the next one. Just read it. Reflect on it. See what applies to me here. Then pray that. Don't be afraid to pray it out loud, to say it, and it gets you into the right mind where you can receive from the Lord. One time, a person wrote me a letter and gave it to me and said, Dave, I really need you to read this. Well, this individual was in terrible distress and explained it to me through this long letter. I was surprised, because if you just looked at this person, you would never know anything was wrong. You know, like sometimes people are good at, like, they're chipper and they're well, but actually inside they're in a lot of pain. So we got together and I said, I really appreciate you writing this. We talked about it. But at the end of our talk, I said, have you shared this letter with your Heavenly Father? And they're like, well, no. I said, well, you need to. I mean, it was good for them to get it off their chest and talk to me, but ultimately, what do we have to do? Point people to Jesus. I said, you need to tell God what you said here. It's not enough, even though writing it is like good and somewhat therapeutic. Sometimes when we're in prayer, how many of you ever find yourself, you're just worrying when you're trying to pray? Yeah, it happens to me. You know, I realize I'm just rehearsing all the things I'm worried about, but I'm not really putting them on Jesus. When you're just rehearsing it, you're keeping it on yourself. So you're just burdening yourself. So what we want to do is take those worries, articulate them, but cast our cares on the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7. This is from the Amplified Version. It says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. Don't you love that word, all? Once and for all. That's what we need to do. We put it on him and we leave it there. Why? Because he cares about you. Hallelujah. So I'm purposing. One night when I was awake in Nigeria, I found myself rehearsing burdens that I had. And I realized I wasn't putting them on the Lord. So kind of like when I'm finally getting up, I'm saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't really give you those worries. But I'm purposing now when they come up again, I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to praise you because you have a solution. I'm going to praise you now that you're going to work everything out, right? Because God works all things together for good. He really does. Are you with me? Look at that Psalm 121. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Like when we're talking to people, we want them to hear us. We want them to listen to us. We want them to kind of help us, right? Well, the scripture is telling us you can do that with a living God. When the God who made heaven and earth helps you, trust me, you get all the help that you need. Amen? You get all the help you need. That's our privilege as sons and daughters of God. So number 9, learn to exchange your worries for his peace. Okay, we're not just reciting them, we're putting them on Lord Jesus, take this from my heart. We release them to him. In exchange, we get his rest and peace. The next point is specific prayers get specific answers. It's really good to tell God exactly like what you need or what's on your heart. Because then when you get an answer, it really builds your faith. Somebody say amen. Yeah, builds your faith. Here's an example of praying specifically. Years ago, this was like 15, 16 years ago, a woman in our church from Singapore graduated from MIT, and she got a job in Boston. Her parents, however, really wanted her to come back to Singapore, and it created all this stress, especially as an Asian woman, in Asian culture, you honor your parents much more than we do in America. And so she felt this, you know, burden, and she was always praying. She was crying out to God, asking for prayer. She told me, Dave, sometimes at work I'm just so distressed, I go into the ladies' room, I go into a stall, shut the door, and I cry out to God. That's humble, isn't it? Well, then lo and behold, she tells me her parents want to come and visit her. So now she's scared. So the parents come to our church service. After the service, her dad comes up to me and says, Pastor Hill, can you please come and talk to my daughter and my wife? Get this. We want to apologize to her for all the distress we've caused her. So I was like, wow. And so he did, very humbly, and I was there, then I kind of prayed for all of them. So that's amazing answer to prayer number 1. Well, then they invited me over to her apartment the next day to, like, talk to them again. So I get there, I'm really praying on the way over. I get there, the sister from a church is really nervous. She's, like, standing up and pacing around, and I'm sort of chatting with her parents. To be totally honest, I had no idea what to do. I'm thinking, like, what are we going to do? This is really awkward and tense. I got an idea right there. I said, sir, do you understand your daughter's faith? He said, no. I said, would you like me to try and explain to you about her faith? He goes, I would really appreciate that. So it just so happened that a few months earlier, I'd gone to an evangelism training seminar, and I learned to do an illustration of the gospel called what? The bridge diagram. Okay. So I've taught most of you how to do the bridge diagram. My family makes fun of me for doing the bridge diagram. So I was like, there's Dad doing the bridge diagram again. Ha, ha, ha. So this is my first try, right? So I sat down on the couch. The Mr. and Mrs. are on either side of me, and I start doing the diagram just like I learned it. We're on one side. God's on the other side. How do you bridge the gap? And the father seems very interested, so I turn my attention to him. Now, this man is probably about 60 years old. He's an established businessman from Singapore. He's got money. He's like a very together individual. I wasn't feeling like he was a great candidate for the gospel, I got to be honest. But I just did the diagram, and we showed how Jesus is the only one who can bridge the gap between God and man and take away our sin. And so we asked him if he had any questions. They taught us at the seminar, when you're all done, to ask a question like this. Is there any reason why you would not want to invite Jesus into your life today? So I said, I'm just going to do what I was taught. I said, excuse me. Is there any reason why you would not want to invite or put your faith in Jesus today? He says, no, there's none. And I'm like, stunned again. So I'm like, do you want to pray together? So we prayed. He confessed his sins to God, invited Jesus into his life. When he went home, he got baptized and joined a local church. Isn't that amazing? Now, all that, sure, go ahead. The Lord is great. All of that is in answer to desperate, honest, real prayer. This sister cried out to the Lord for all she was worth, and he answered her. Hallelujah. Here, let's look at one other. 2 Chronicles 20. You can turn in your Bible there. This is another example of being honest with the Lord. This is Jehoshaphat. And in 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat is one of the kings who really trusted in God. I'm going to be reading about verse 6. What's happening is this big, huge army is coming to attack Judah. And they're all scared. And so he goes to the temple of the Lord, and here's how he prays. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who's in heaven? That's kind of bold. It's kind of like, almost seems disrespectful, right? Are you not the God who's in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And then verse 10, but now here are the men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory they would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they're repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, that our eyes are on you. Is that powerful? I want you to learn to pray like this. Do you want to learn to pray like that? All right, good. God answered their prayer and delivered them. There's a book called The Heavenly Man, which is about a man in China who became a great evangelist and church planter. It's a book really worth reading. It's like the Book of Acts in China in the 1980s, basically. At one point, he's at this underground church meeting, and they had him all the time, and the police are continually coming and finding them and breaking up their meetings, and he especially had to run away because, you know, he'd been in jail once before, and he was always on the run. So it's the winter, they're having a meeting, the police show up, he and this other guy have to flee, they run out, they're near a lake, it's freezing cold, they're hiding like in the willow bushes, shivering. And he says, I started praying like this. Lord, aren't you God? Can't you do something about this? We're always on the run. We're freezing out here. And so he's praying that way to God. He's real. The Holy Spirit brought to remembrance all these scriptures. 1 Peter, you've been granted to suffer with Christ on this earth, to share in his sufferings. Corinthians, where Paul goes, I'm sharing in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It totally helped him. He said, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. If you've appointed me to bear the sufferings, Jesus suffered for me. He bled and died for me. I want to be able to suffer for him. And it gave him grace. I mean, most of us is like, that's not what I wanted to hear, Lord. I mean, I'm an American, right? Like, you know, no suffering, just blessing. That's all I want. Blessing, blessing, blessing. But it helped him because he was real. We're going to be real with God. Amen? All right, there's a final point here. It's on your outline. Number 11, after getting real, we need to learn to get quiet. Just, we pour it all out in the Lord. We quiet ourselves. Because that's when you can really receive. Just relax. Be at peace. Sometimes you don't have to, like, say anything. You can just be quiet in the Lord's presence. And many times, God will minister to you. Or you'll just feel like the burden lifts. Or maybe the Holy Spirit will say something. Or a scripture will come to you. Or peace will fill your heart. Christians should be able to come before God and become peaceful, relaxed, and helped. Do you know what's an increasing way in America people try and find peace? They do yoga. I was parking at the Boston Common, and I got out and was walking up towards the State House, and on the lawn there was a free yoga class. I bet there was 100 or 150 people there, just out in the open, free yoga class, or going through the exercise. But Ingrid has a friend who said yoga, like, saved my life, because she learned to relax. She learned to just decompress. Are you with me? We're going to learn to do that with Jesus, right? I mean, God's peace is greater than, I'm sure yoga really helps some people. Do you know what I mean? It helps them relax. It helps them decompress. But I want to get my peace from Jesus. Exercise is good. You know, all these things are good, right? They're helpful. But the peace that passes all understanding doesn't come from a workout at the gym. It doesn't come from doing yoga. It comes from Jesus. But lots of times, as believers, we don't know how to get that peace. So, like, we say that, but we're not experiencing it. Well, let's just close that gap. Learn to get real, and learn to be quiet, and receive. Last point, God is omniscient. Do you know what that means? He's all-knowing. It says God knows the end from the beginning. That's really powerful. It's good to reflect on God knows everything. Now, when we sin, that's scary. But you know what? Your sins never take God by surprise. He saw it coming. God saw it coming. He knows what's going on in your head. It doesn't surprise him. God sees your fears. He knows how distressed you are. And we see this in our families. Sometimes our kids are all out of sorts. And what do we want them to do? Look, just sit down, talk to me, just let's get this off your chest, and you're going to be okay. That's what God wants to do with you. Become like a child. Learn to allow him, knowing everything. He's all-powerful. Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. You don't have to beg, but he wants you to draw near to him. So we are going to do that. We're going to be a people who pray the Psalms and God's Word. We're going to be real with him, pour our hearts out to him, and we're going to learn to give him, put it on him, every worry, care, tiredness, whatever it is, and receive the peace and strength that we need to live by. Can we say amen to that? Amen. All right. John, can you do a closing song for us? So let's take a minute to just talk to the Lord right now. Father God, we thank you that you call us to yourself. Jesus, thank you that you want to lessen the burdens that we carry in life. Thank you. Father, we... You have to turn your cell phone off when you pray. It's okay, Jace. But seriously, do you know what I mean? It's like we live in America. There's so many distractions. That's actually a great illustration for us. Father, teach us to get alone with you. Father, help every one of us find a time and a place to get alone, whether it's early in the morning or at night before we go to bed or we take a walk at lunchtime, and it's just us with you alone. Help us find that time and make it special and something that we make that appointment with you and we become real. Bless every brother and sister. Bless me, Father, to be totally honest, to be real, to tell you exactly what we're thinking or feeling, and Lord, to leave things with you and to receive your help. Father, we believe you know how to help us. Jesus, we believe you know how to change us, heal us, comfort us, give us peace. We want that. Just pray on your own for a few seconds. We're not in a hurry.
Every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy.